The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
More fallout with the Boston Red Sox and the Alex Bregman situation. We are your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am your host in 2025 Boston Bastard of the Year, Chris Felica, joined by Jason Kelly, according to Doug's uncle, Doug Igeson, and Terry Cushman, who will be joining us and has joined us. So guys, as if we didn't suffer enough this offseason, the Boston Red Sox have still yet to make any signings in the free agency period, despite all the plethora of trades that we have made with the St. Louis Cardinals. And it just seems like more and more keeps on evolving here with this Alex Bregman situation. You know, reports where there's some quote-unquote people being called potentially liars as far as the contract situation. I'll leave it to you guys to go over all the details. I gave my take the other day, so I'll start with you, Jason. What's your take as far as this continued fallout with Alex Bregman and the Boston Red Sox?
Well, my initial take is that I'm not surprised that, once again, the Boston Red Sox cannot negotiate in good faith, that Craig Breslow doesn't know how to deal with other humans in an appropriate way. That whole story about him basically trying to call Scott Boras's bluff, saying, oh, I don't think you guys have another offer, and, you know, this is the best offer on the table. I mean, that's just so out of touch, and just, it's again, it's arrogant. It's Craig Breslow being arrogant again, thinking he's the smartest guy in the room. Scott Boras has been doing this for a long, long time, much longer than Craig Breslow's been doing this GM work. So for Breslow to kind of think that he could, like, hoodwink Scott Boras is hilarious and also very embarrassing for the organization. And then the reports coming out that the real sticking point was the no trade clause. Well, that to me screams John Henry. That was John Henry to me, because for Bregman to say, yeah, I would have taken the deal, but they weren't going to budge on the no trade. That's John Henry saying, yeah, no one's getting a no trade as far as I'm concerned, because if I don't feel like paying them, I'm just going to do what I did to Rafael Devers and ship them out to the desert or ship them out wherever. And of course, if you're Alex Bregman, it makes sense that he wants a no trade, because he's been telling teams all winter, you know, I've got a young family. I don't want to be moving around. I want to sign one last contract that I can retire with, and I want to stay in one place, and I want that no trade because I don't want to have to pick up my family and move again in 3 years because someone decides to trade me. Perfectly reasonable, right? It's perfectly reasonable. And the Red Sox just said, no, we're not doing that. And that, to me, that's John Henry to a T. I think Breslow didn't negotiate well in terms of the contract and with Scott Boras, but that no trade thing, that's all ownership to me, because they want the control to be able to at any point to say, yeah, we don't feel like paying you anymore. We're going to ship you out to God knows where. So I'm not surprised. Once again, it's because it's not just Breslow, it's ownership. It's the whole front office. They're all involved in this. They all think that, you know, their model is the best and you should just take whatever crappy offer we give you, and you should be happy to be playing for the Boston Red Sox. That's just not how it works. Players have really good agents now, and they have different demands. It's not always just who pays the most money. It's stuff like the security of a no-trade clause, you know? And John Henry and co. just aren't willing to do it. So, once again, just another bungled negotiation. And the more these stories come out, the worse the organization looks, and that's going to make it really, really hard later on to sign any other free agents, because now other players around the league are looking at this going, wow, this Breslow and Henry, these guys are ridiculous. Like, I don't know if I really want to negotiate with Boston because it's going to be a pain in the ass. So all of it's bad, all of it's embarrassing. And once again, Red Sox lose out on another free agent that wanted to be here, but they couldn't seal the deal because they just don't know how to negotiate. It's pathetic.
Kerry?
It's hilarious that Craig Breslow thought that this would be a tradable contract after the first year. I mean, let's just say the Red Sox signed Bregman to the Tigers deal. 6 years, 171, I think it was, and then had the season that he had. Do you think he's tradable coming into 2026, or are there too many red flags? Like, maybe a desperate team would take him, but I don't think, generally speaking, it wasn't a good year, especially that second half with no power. Most of his stats just kind of took a nosedive. But when the news broke on Saturday night, which is kind of rare, I don't really remember another big development like that happening, you know, in this podcast's existence. Maybe it happened, but it's not a super common thing. But I was kind of shocked that the Red Sox were in play. Like, I mean, their offer was only $10 million less than what he was saying last August would get it done. He was asking for a five-year, $175 deal last August, and we've kind of criticized that and picked it apart in recent episodes. And so come to find out, we were in on him all along, and I just didn't see it as a good value contract. I would rather have Pete Alonso a million times out of a million over Alex Bregman for 5 years. You know, Alonso, like we said not long after the signing, has essentially played a full season, including two 162-game seasons recently. You know, you're not getting that out of Bregman. It was just a bad value type thing. And then come to find out, the way, and we've only found this out in the last 24 hours, Breslow, as Jason said, was just a complete moron on how he went about it. Nothing about this situation is good. Nothing. You know, initially we're like bullet dodged. Cubs took the plunge. But this is Craig Breslow's third free agency season, and it's probably his worst. And there's no reason to believe that, let's say a strike doesn't happen next year, there's no reason to believe that number four is going to be any better. I think agents across the league that represent players respect him less. I think front offices all across the league respect him less. I mean, he's only willing to do deals with Heim and Sherrington, who don't have a ton of leverage anyway. We just saw Nolan Arenado get shipped off today to the Diamondbacks. But this is a very incompetent front office. It's a very dysfunctional one. And they have no friends. Everybody's coming at them from all angles. Players, analysts, the Red Sox beat are all destroying the Red Sox right now, and rightfully so.
Dougie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, like me, like you guys, a lot of people in my everyday either text or see me go, what are they doing? What are the Sox doing? They ask me about it, and it's like, what do you even say at this point? It's like, they're just a joke. And there's a lot of words that I'm not going to say here that I usually say to people describing them. And it's funny that you bring up Alonso, Terry, because it's like, I think not getting Bregman, it's not about not getting Bregman. It just makes you feel like it brings it back to Alonso, the feeling of just, we're just not getting anybody. And I feel like I've heard a lot of people bring up Alonso today because it brings everything back of just, we're just so incompetent. We're just not doing anything. To have $0 spent on the board is just insane. I've never even seen that. And to think, like, you're right, to think it's going to get any better, I don't know why you would. Right? There's no signs of him being competent at all. There's no signs of him having any respect from any player, any front office. It's just, he's a joke. The front office is pathetic, feeble, so many words to describe them. And it's just, it's sad because there's a lot of players on this team that I want to cheer for. And I feel like at this point, when they come out on opening day, like there's going to be boos. And those boos aren't really directed at the players, but they're going to have to hear them. And that can't make them happy. There's no way that they're happy with the front office. There's no way. And it's just going to have a trickle-down effect, I think, all season. And I'm afraid of the morale of the team because of it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you make that point, Doug, as far as the level of disappointment with the missing out on Bregman, right? Because I agree with you, and I think most fans would agree that it's not about losing Bregman. I think what Bregman represented was he was the surefire name that's been attached to us since free agency, even before it started, right? Like, we came into this, and it was like, Bregman and who? And it was fill in Schwarber or Alonso. We all, for the most part, wanted Alonso, and I think most of the fan base, it made the most sense. Right-handed bat, crush the monster. The contract would be more friendly as far as from a defensive perspective until he got to the DH role, etc. But Bregman was basically the promise. That's what he represented, was a promise from the Red Sox front office to the fans, to the roster. And he was also the bridge from Devers, right? Like, we got rid of Devers, and it was like, all right, well, this is who we decided to go with. So this is kind of where we're putting all of our dollars and our faith as an organization. And they completely spat in our face because they traded the largest contract that we ever handed out and the cornerstone franchise player in Rafael Devers for Alex Bregman, and then completely let him walk after they told you, well, don't worry, we're going to bring him back. It's a question of who else we're going to bring with him. And I think most of us objectively are, you know, Terry tweeted today, right? Like, two things could be true. We could be happy that we didn't sign Bregman, which I think most of us are, because 5 years, 175 is crazy, right? And I think even when most of us heard the reports that we were attached to Bregman for like that amount of years after Breslow came out and said, well, you know, we're going to be responsible when it comes to years and age and really take these things into account. We looked at it as like, oh, there's no way we're in on him. And little did we know, we were 100% in on him. But there was the caveat, the no trade clause. And that was their way of basically trying to sneakily get him on a 5-year quote-unquote deal and then try to ship him out after 1 or 2 years. Because we all know that contract is not going to age well. Terry said it best. No one is going to want that contract in 3 years, let alone five. So, you know, there's a part of me that respects the Sox recognizing that that's a bad contract and they realize they have to get out of it. The problem is, this is a game now the Sox have continued to play, and now the rest of the world is calling their BS because no one wants to do business with the Red Sox. You know, we've said it all along, and free agency is a period where you go out there and you quote-unquote overspend, and that's either via years or dollars or both. And you can't have your cake and eat it too, and the smartest man in baseball, smartest man in the room, Craig Breslow, thinks he can, and every time he does, we don't even have a freaking cake. So, let alone eating it. And it's a grave disappointment. I don't know where we go from here. You know, there's already been reports, which I know we're all roll our eyes at, that plan B, Bo Bichette, which should have never been plan B, that should have been plan A over Bregman. But the fan base is fractured. And I don't think anyone's buying that the Red Sox are truly in on anyone. And the Red Sox are at a pivotal point as a franchise where they have to recognize, as Terry said, they have no allies and no friends. The media is calling them out on their bullcrap, even the ones that usually kiss their ass. Every sports agency, news network, et cetera, is basically laughing at us. And ex-players are coming out and just absolutely pummeling us. So where do we go from here?
I mean, if Bo Bichette really is the plan B, I'm very curious to see what this quote-unquote aggressive offer that it'll be for him, because that's what we heard during the Bregman talks, right? Red Sox made an aggressive offer. And then we looked at it and said, well, it really wasn't that aggressive because they wanted to defer a lot of the money and there wasn't a no trade and all that. So look, are they going to go after Bo Bichette? Probably. Are they going to fall short? Probably. Because he's going to get a big contract, and they're going to get spooked at some point. John Henry's not going to turn around and give $300 million to Bo Bichette because he's embarrassed that they lost out on Alex Bregman. That's just, he's not going to do it. And he'll turn to Craig Breslow and say, look, it's your job to sell to the fan base that we have good internal options now because, you know, we didn't get anyone in free agency. Or maybe that's when they go and trade for Brendan Donovan because his name's been floating around forever. And, you know, again, Craig can only trade with two GMs, Haim being one of them. So that'll probably be the pivot after they lose on Bichette. Yeah, this whole pivot, this plan B, all that, like, it's just, they're too disingenuous to get away with it anymore. The fan base has smartened up. I mean, Chris, you said it, even the ones who usually kiss their ass, you know, the Karabases of the world, and even he's, you know, sarcastically tweeting, like, oh, yeah, right, they're not going to get Bo Bichette. Wake me up when that actually happens. Like, they've broken Karabas. That's how bad it is. That's how bad the lying and the disingenuous has gotten them. It's like, nobody believes anything they say anymore. And it's just, no one takes them seriously. The fans don't take them seriously. The rest of the league doesn't take them seriously. And it's all because they've got, you know, an owner who doesn't want to open his wallet and a GM who's a nerd who thinks he's smarter than everyone else. And, you know, for a team that hasn't won in a couple of years, you can't be acting that way. The Dodgers can act that way because the Dodgers kind of are smarter than everyone else. They win and they continually have the best farm system. That's why players want to go there, right? They are the model of excellence. The Boston Red Sox are not that. So they need to stop acting like they are. And look, I would love nothing more than for them to prove me wrong and to go and hand out a massive contract to Bo Bichette and get him in Boston. That would be incredible. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think the bidding war is going to start and they'll be in there at the beginning, but then that number is going to keep going up and up and up. And at some point, John Henry's going to back out. So it's a nice thought, but once again, just I don't believe anything they say. I think that, you know, they'll dip their toes in the Bo Bichette waters, but they're not serious about actually giving him an aggressive offer. So I think the chance of Bo Bichette coming here are very, very slim.
Sure.
When we were talking about Bichette previously, and I think universally we're all pro Bo Bichette, whether he was our first choice or not. And I've already said Alonso was my first choice, but I mean, I think we've all said that Bichette is a fit. He's a career 297 hitter, has decent pop, would probably see an uptick in home runs at Fenway Park being a righty. But when we were talking about him, it was a 6 or 7 year deal. And that's what a lot of the projections were. So if we're hearing $300 million, do we want to pay Bo Bichette for 10 years? He's not super injury prone, but he hasn't played a full season since I think 2022. So I don't know. I'm a little uncomfortable with a $300 million contract and how it'll age. But having said that, I mean, I don't know what other options are out there. If you're serious about winning, you probably have to do it. 6 or 7 years would have been perfect, though. That's like to age 35, you know. But you look at that infield, you know, it would be Wilson Contreras. I'm assuming Marcelo Meyer at second. I shouldn't assume that. It could be Bo Bichette at second base, Trevor Story at short, and Meyer at third. That's a pretty good infield. It might not be quite as defensively as what you want it to be. The right side would be. The left side, not so much. I don't know where Meyer or Bichette would be. It'd be second and third, whatever order. But, you know, if it's Meyer and Contreras on the right side, that's a very good, that's going to be very good defense against left-handed hitting. So I don't know how it would shake out, but Craig Breslow, his chief opponent in the race for Bo Bichette is going to be Dave Dombrowski. Who's going to win that one? I mean, come on. I don't know what to do. And you still have a logjam in the outfield. The other development that came out before the Bregman news was that the Red Sox never seriously considered moving any of their outfielders. And the thing I keep going back to is, where is $68 million Christian Campbell going to play? And everybody says Worcester. And I'm like, well, that's fine for April, but he should be up in 2026 and he should be an everyday player once he gets up here. So what's the plan? And the plan is there is no plan. And if there's no plan, you signed a bad extension. You signed a bad extension on a player who hadn't even played a Major League Baseball game yet. Or maybe he played a couple of weeks. I forget the timing. Maybe it happened in April. But still, so the point I'm getting at here is the entire organization is in complete disarray. There's no direction. And yeah, go ahead and lie to me about Bo Bichette. If they're going to make this move, let's say I'm wrong and we end up with him, okay? They panicked. They panicked because it's essentially D-Day. In terms of all of the media all around Major League Baseball, whether it's Ken Rosenthal, Jeff Passan, MLB Network, by the way, has been destroying the Red Sox. The whole, I forget which crew it is. I think it's The Athletic. You know, that's who Rosenthal works for. AJ Pierzynski has been on those podcasts. They've all been destroying the Red Sox. So have the beat writers, as I said previously. So if we end up with Bo Bichette, that's why. It's because they panicked. And one thing to consider here, most people have the Red Sox in fourth or fifth place. So, by the way, does Jonathan Papelbon. And how ideal is that going to be going into a strike? That's a very bad note. To go into a year-long strike, you want to go into that on a good note. You want to go into that with a little bit of optimism. And right now, like I said, it's a complete mess.
Dougie?
Yeah, at this point, it's like you can't. I'm not going to read one article about us pursuing Bo. I'm not going to look into it. I'm not going to buy into it at all. I'm not going to get any hopes up. I'm just going to wait for that alert to come up on my phone. And when it says whatever team signed him, that's if it's the Red Sox, then that's great. I'll be very happy. And if it's for 10 years, 300, I really wouldn't care. I just want to see it happen, to be honest, at this point. I just want to see them do something and show that they can actually get a free agent to come here, just anything. And they have all this money to spend because it's they're not getting anyone else. So whatever the price is for Bichette, I don't really care. I want them to get him. And I agree, Tyler. Like that looks like a, with him, it looks like a pretty good infield, you know. And it's just, but at this point, what you can't buy into any report. You can't believe anything they say. You can't actually think we're going to get him. So you got to just sit back and accept the fate that everything it's all in their hands, and they control everything. How we all our fate this season, and it's just a shame. And the Bo thing is, they're gonna, I think Terry, like, I think the 6-7 years thing, I'm with you, but like, it, but like I said, if they signed 10 years, like, would you care? Would you be upset?
It would be uncomfortable, but at this point we've backed ourselves into that right. Corner.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people, like you said, you know, Papelbon have us fourth or fifth. I don't really see us being that bad. I don't think, like, as disappointing as this offseason is, I think our roster is still not that bad. And I don't see a reason why. Let me ask you, like, what's the biggest reason why we'd be so much worse than we were last year?
Well, so when I look at this team, now, again, assuming everyone stays healthy, yeah, maybe they are a third-place team. They're not a first- or second-place team because they were a third-place team last year, And, you know, yeah, if Anthony doesn't get hurt, there's a chance we pass the Yankees, but I can't without a shadow of a doubt tell you we do. And Toronto's gotten better. The Yankees have kind of just stayed the course, except they're getting back their number one pitcher and their ace, who they didn't have, and they still beat us. Could we finish third? It's possible. But the Orioles got better. They just did. They've at least made the effort to get better. I can't say we have. Because, yes, there's moves that we've made that in a vacuum, you could say, would make the Red Sox better had we not lost what we lost. Because we let players walk and haven't truly replaced them. And the people that we have attempted to replace them with are arguably not as good as the players that left. And we still have holes. And I think that's the scary part about this roster. And the truth is, I don't want to be a third place team. I want to be on the ascension, going for second place and fighting for the AL East. And the fact that we can't even say that the Sox are trying to do that, I think, is the most frustrating part. And I agree with you, Doug. I think I want to see the Sox hand out a crazy contract just so that I know they still can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point that we're at now as a franchise. Like, give them a 12-year deal at $28 million a year. I'd hate it in a couple of years. But let me love it today so that I know we're capable of it. Because the Sox have put ourselves in a position where I don't think they're capable. And the scariest part about it is I don't think John Henry gives a crap. I think he's fine with it, him not spending money. And if that's the truth, then it doesn't matter. Fiscally responsible, not fiscally responsible when it comes to offers. Because you're never handing out another contract if this is the mentality. And I think, you know, I hear a lot of rumblings because I live here in New York, right? Like, Tucker seems to be getting offers now from the Mets. And the report was that the AAV is $50+ million. And I heard a lot about rumors of, all right, well, if you're going to offer him 50 plus, maybe you do it in a 3 to 4 year deal, knowing there's going to be a lockout and knowing you're not going to pay him for 10 years. So you're giving him about 2/3 of what you would on a normal 10-year contract, and you can only do it for 3 to 4 seasons. While he's still quote unquote in his prime. And now, while I don't necessarily know if I would do that with Kyle Tucker, it did pose an interesting concept for a team like the Red Sox, who came out and basically said, like, yeah, we're fine spending money, but we're just not going to spend money if you're old. And we're all smart enough to recognize that free agents in the MLB generally hit free agency when they're kind of just entering their prime or just kind of getting ready to exit their prime. They're going to be in their late 20s, which means you're not handing long-term contracts if you don't want a 35-year-old on your team. So, Bo Bichette is 28. What if the Sox did offer crazy money? What if they gave him $40, $45 million AAV for 4 seasons? I wouldn't love it, but it's a hell of a lot better than not getting anyone and going after people like Brendan Donovan, who's a fine player if you have every other hole filled. But with as many holes as we have, he's not doing it for any of us.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the roster is terrible as it's currently constituted. There's still some pieces that I would like. I'd like to have, you know, a true, you know, everyday second baseman, not just a platoon. Same at third base. I'd like a little bit more in the bullpen. But otherwise, like, I like the rotation. I like the back end of the bullpen. The Contreras move was a good move. So, you know, it's not awful. But like you said, everyone around you got better. Baltimore got better. And look, you know, Baltimore kind of went for it with some trades and with the Alonso signing. Whether or not it will work, we'll see, right? You know, we'll see what happens with Pete Alonso. But chances are he's going to hit, you know, close to 40 home runs for Baltimore this year. So that's a big thing that they didn't really have on their roster last year. Toronto keeps getting better. Toronto is aggressively spending and basically telling everyone we want to go back to the World Series. You know, the Rays are the Rays. They're going to do their thing. You know, they'll have some kid throwing 105 coming up at some point this season that we're not going to be able to hit. The Yankees did kind of stay the course. They're going to lose Bellinger, but they'll get back Gerrit Cole. I guess that's good. You know, Aaron Judge is still a monster, so they'll still be competitive. And, you know, the Red Sox, I don't think they got better. I think they just sort of basically the same, just they just kind of swapped some guys out. You lost Alex Bregman, but you bring in Wilson Contreras. Okay. I mean, that's pretty good. You brought in Sonny Gray. All right. I mean, he's a nice piece of rotation, but we all agree that's not a true number two, which is what they said they were going to go after. You lost a lot of bullpen arms that you didn't replace, so that's a little bit of a concern. I think the biggest problem right now is that I don't need them to go out and get silly with, you know, a Bo Bichette contract, as much as I would like him. But it's more like I just wish they were more proactive earlier this winter. They let so many guys go off the board, you know, the first couple of weeks, first couple of months of the offseason, to the point where, you know, then it came down to, okay, they lost out on Pete Alonso. And, you know, then it got down to, well, there's only two premium free agents left, and that's really Bregman and Bichette. And the Red Sox were so confident that they were going to get Bregman that they sort of were okay, like, being backed into that corner. Because they were like, no, we got this. We'll get him. And they never thought, well, what if we don't? You know, they never really planned for that. It was always just everyone in that organization just thought, nope, well, we're going to get him back. And you didn't. So now you're really backed into a corner, as Terry said. It's like, now it's like Bichette or nothing. I mean, you know, it's Bichette or you got to make another trade, which I guess is fine. But then your entire offseason is all we did was make trades. We didn't spend a single dollar. And did we really get better? Because now, like, Ketel Marte is off the table. So that deal's dead. You know, if you trade for Brendan Donovan, okay. Like Chris said, he's a nice player, but he's the kind of guy I'd want them to trade for when the rest of your 1-9 is already nasty and looks really good. And then, okay, we add Brendan Donovan to play second base. That's a nice lefty bat to have. That you add him now, it's just, again, you run into the same problem that you had the last couple of years where you're very lefty heavy. You know, he's a nice piece, but it's not going to be enough. Like, trading for Brendan Donovan is just going to get a big shoulder shrug out of everybody. And rightfully so, because you look at that lineup, if you add a guy like that, okay, Marcelo Meyer's going to play third. Is he going to stay healthy all year? Probably not. You know, is Trevor Story going to have the same season he did in 2025? Highly unlikely. He's a prime regression candidate. Getting Roman Anthony back would be great. But now, because Bregman's gone, he's like the guy that you are going to be leaning on to drive your offense. A 21-year-old. Like, that's ridiculous. Your DH is probably going to be Masataka Yoshida. Okay. Is Cora going to let him hit against lefties? Probably not. So, you know, your DH is going to be a guy who 3 out of every 4 at-bats is going to roll over to second base. And, you know, you still have an outfielder logjam. Like, Sadon is a phenomenal outfielder, but his bat is very questionable. It's just, there's still so many question marks around this team and around this lineup that because you slacked in free agency so badly, this is what you're left with. You're left with basically the same team from last year, except everyone's a little bit older and you swapped out a few pieces. That's it. So that's why guys like Papelbon and, you know, all these other guys kind of have the Red Sox finishing lower in the AL East, because they look at how aggressive Baltimore and Toronto were when free agency kicked off. Like, those two teams were really active at the winter meetings. The Red Sox didn't do anything at the winter meetings. I think that was the week they traded for Oviedo. I'm not sure. But that was it. Yeah, you traded for a cast off from the Pirates. Like, that's nothing compared to what the other teams in your division did. So yeah, they were too late. They worked too slow and they were too late, and now they're really backed into a corner. If they signed Bichette 10 years, $300 million, would I be happy? I agree with Terry. It's uncomfortable, but yeah, I guess I'd be pretty happy, because at least then I'd say, all right, well, at least you still give a damn, to the point where you're willing to pay a premium free agent a long-term premium contract. That would at least, you know, that would make me feel a little bit better in terms of, like, okay, at least the owner's awake, right? He's not just asleep on his yacht. Like, he still cares. Okay, good. It's an uncomfortable contract, but we'll cross that bridge and we get to it in 6-7 years. But I just don't see it happening.
How good does Jorge Polanco sound right now? I mean, comparatively, like, you're like, oh, a serviceable bat we could get, you know? And nobody wanted that guy, you know, 6 or 8 weeks ago. We're all like, oh, no, go get so-and-so. I'm going to talk about Breslau. I want to point something out, though. If Kyle Tucker signs with anybody but the Blue Jays, or anyone outside of the Blue Jays, I should say, Bichette's going back to Toronto. So Kyle Tucker owns the market. And if you're Bo Bichette's agent, you're not doing anything until Kyle Tucker signs. So, it's even less control that a guy like Breslau has. Another person said in our stream, mentioned Eugenio Suarez. That might be what happens on a one-year deal going into a strike. Nobody really wants it. I think he's more of a DH now than, a third baseman. Looking at his defensive wars, I mean, he's consistently been negative, not hugely negative, but a negative defender nonetheless. So it would be a terrible move if it happens. Here's what I would do if I'm the Red Sox. It's not going to happen. It would be unprecedented, and it would dominate the news cycle for the entire week until a guy like Kyle Tucker signs. Just fire Breslau now. Just do it. And you're not going to get an external person. Pick the person in the front office that you trust the most, that has the best people skills, that can work deals with other front offices, because it's not Breslau. I guarantee you, I got my phone right here. When Craig Breslau's number comes up on those other executives' phones, they're probably like, yeah, let's just send that one to voicemail. Nobody wants to talk to him. Nothing productive is going to happen if Craig Breslau is calling your phone. Nothing. Get somebody in that front office. I have no idea who it would be. Eddie Romero might be the only name. We lost the smartest guy to the Nationals. Was that Groupman? I forget which. I get them all mixed up. But we had one of our younger up-and-coming executives get plucked by the Nationals. And but if there's anybody else in that front office, let them do it. Hand them the reins. I think that's the only way you gain any credibility here. And maybe it still blows up in the short term, but nothing good is going to happen with Craig Breslau. Just rip the Band-Aid off now. In a perfect world, Theo would come in and save the day. He would have Jaron Duran traded to another team for an asset that we badly need. Maybe that's the infield asset and not Bo Bichette. Maybe that's how you get there. But Craig Breslau doesn't know how to trade a guy like Jaron Duran. He doesn't know how to talk to anybody that's not Chaim Bloom or Ben Cherington. And I think that's the best move you could make, in the coming days, is to just relieve Breslau of his duties. There's no path forward with that guy.
Yeah, I agree. I don't hate that at all. I mean, how much worse can it get? What's the next guy going to do? Spend less than zero? I mean, I think you're right too. Like, I think it is a good time to show that maybe we're more serious than it looks. And if you, to do that, that would be the move to do that. To do that and then still sign somebody and kind of prove we didn't need him to do it, get rid of him, sign somebody still. It would be a huge move. It would say a lot. And bringing back like the Christian Campbell thing, like you're paying him, right? And it's like I've coached high school basketball, and it's like if you're a sophomore and you're on the varsity team, when by the time you're a senior, you better be starting, or what were you doing? And it's like, now I feel like that with Christian Campbell. It's like he came up, he got the money, but you have to work to get your spot. And this seems to not be a spot for him. And it just seems like, and I'm a huge Christian Campbell guy, I want to see it, but you can't just have another Castillo and just bury this guy and to pay him for, and to just bury him in Worcester. So I would love to see us find a spot for KC somewhere.
So Terry, I agree with you that it would definitely obviously take over the news cycle, getting rid of Craig Breslow as Red Sox vice president of baseball operations, whatever the hell his title is, whatever he thinks he's doing. Here's why, not that I'm saying I wouldn't do it. If you're going to do it, you have to do something more than that, because here's my fear to what you just said. How much worse can it get, Doug? We went from Heim to Breslow. That's how much worse it can get. And I hated Heim Bloom. Couldn't stand him. He did sign people. He spent money in free agency. It wasn't good, but he did it. He made crappy trades. Breslow's good at that. Although I would say Breslow's probably made some better trades than Heim Bloom. But unless you're getting rid of Heim Bloom and then also reassigning Sam Kennedy to a new title and responsibility with the organization, we all know this will just be more fluff to make us feel better. Oh, good, we got rid of Craig Breslow. It'll take over the news cycle. Yet it doesn't actually fix the team, not immediately. And unless you do more, it's not even going to fix it for the long term, because we don't know who the hell's stepping in. And unless it's someone with credibility, which no one with any credibility is going to come here as long as Sam Kennedy is out there doing his nonsense. I wouldn't want to work for him. None of us would. It's you're just basically the poster child of going out there giving BS, handcuffed, with no ability to really do anything. And then to boot, you've got Craig Breslow, who even if he wanted to, couldn't. It starts with getting rid of Craig Breslow, but it has to end with Sam Kennedy not being in the role and responsibility with this organization. Otherwise, it can get worse. We'll get rid of Breslow, and you can kill the man, but you can keep the dream alive. And that's what we did. We axed Heim Bloom, but we kept his dream alive, and we brought in an even dumber guy to do it.
Real quick, so it was Paul Toboni was the executive, not Groupman. And Breslow is the chief baseball officer, CBO, or chief bonehead officer.
Yeah.
As it's turning out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you mentioned Eugenio Suarez. I want nothing to do with him. He is below average defense, terrible base runner, strikes out. Probably two times the amount of the next highest on the Red Sox if he was on the team. To me, that's just, yeah, he signed for a one-year deal going into a lockout, but doesn't do anything for me. I mean, at this point, outside of, you know, I tweeted the other day, outside of a Bo or a Kyle Tucker or going out there and you want to actually make a quote-unquote trade that's going to change the landscape of this franchise, a player like a Tatis, not saying he's out there and available, but meaning a player of that elk, or Scooble, who still no one knows what the hell is doing because they're about to go to arbitration. It seems like they're completely on two different planets of what each wants. Trading for a player of that elk as far as the rotation. Unless you do something along those lines, I don't think there's much you can do to fix this fracture of this organization between us as fans and them as a team. And I think to Doug's point, it's, you know, it's going to create a fracture with the players and the organization, because the truth is they're the ones who got to hear the boos. They're the ones who are going to take all the critiques, have to deal with the media on a day-to-day basis, because Sam Kennedy's not dealing with them. Craig Breslow's only once in a while. Alex Cora will take the brunt of it. I'm sure you want to talk about someone who regrets signing an extension. Imagine being that poor bastard. So I don't know.
And you know, players hate when they get questions about off the field stuff, and they're going to get a ton of it about the front office. It will get frustrating for them, I would imagine.
100%. There's nothing. No one wants to answer for what their employer's doing, because at the end of the day,
they don't have
a job and get a paycheck.
Right. They don't have an answer. Well, what can they say? Is yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing rumblings now. There's some reports where the Red Sox might be pivoting, relooking at the Duran trade, who they said that they weren't contemplating, which we already know is BS, because we know that Craig Breslow valued him as a 7 WAR, and then the rest of the league's looking at him closer to the 4 WAR that he was. But basically putting him out there for a guy like Cole Reagans, I have absolutely no confidence something like that can happen. At best, if you're going to trade Duran, it's going to be probably to the Pittsburgh Pirates or the St. Louis Cardinals, whatever scrap heaps that they have left. and are willing to trade because Craig Breslow can't make deals with the big executives in this league. You guys have any other thoughts?
Just to follow up on the Durant thing, I don't believe for a second that we never were actually considering trading any of our outfielders. Like, that's such BS. That all the smoke around Joe Ryan and Cole Reagans and, you know, Jaron Duran's name being tossed around, like, during the winter meetings and, like, during the month of December, it was like, I was looking at my phone thinking, at some point, I'm going to see a passing tweet, Jaron Duran's been traded. Like, that's how hot his name was at the beginning of free agency. So for Breslow now to say, oh, no, we were never really considering it, it's total BS. He's just walking it back because, once again, he couldn't get the deal done. He, you know, like you said, Chris, he overvalued Duran, probably asked for too much in every single trade, and every team turned him down. I think the whole Joe Ryan thing, I think he pissed off the Twins so much that they leaked out, actually, no, we're going to keep Joe Ryan now, because I think they really wanted Jaron Duran, or they wanted some kind of, you know, Duran plus prospects package from Boston, and Breslow pissed them so off so much in the negotiations. They're like, you know what? We'll just hang on to him. It's fine. Jeez, like, forget about it. So it's complete BS. He was trying to trade one of those guys, most likely Duran, and he just couldn't get the deal done.
Well, Breslow also said that there was players on the roster that he had the potential to move if to improve the team. So if it wasn't Duran or any of the outfielders, then, like, who was it? Wasn't Bregman. He was a free agent, so that wasn't a possibility. No one would take Tristan Casas, and he's not even, quote-unquote, on the roster at the end of the season anyway. So it just begs the question, all right, if not them, then who? And if it was someone else, then, like, what are we doing at this point?
And that's another thing. You mentioned Casas. Where's he going to play? The Red Sox have not demonstrated in the post-Dombrowski era, outside of, I guess, Chris Sale, that they're willing to eat money. They're not willing to do it. So now Casas doesn't have a spot. Christian Campbell doesn't have a spot. And I just, what do those players say as they're reporting to camp? And Bregman's not there. And he's not there because Breslow wouldn't give him a no trade clause. I mean, so how does Breslow look to his own players at this point? You know, again, taking all of that into account, Casas showing up to camp, not knowing where he's going to play. Campbell probably going to be starting down in Worcester, which probably isn't what he wants. I mean, he played winter ball. I don't think it was super great. It wasn't terrible, but it's just this entire organization is a mess. And I think our pitching rotation is going to be a lot worse than people think. That's why I think we're going to be also bad. Our lineup isn't streamlined, as we've been covering virtually the entire show. And I don't think Sonny Gray, I think that's going to blow up so bad. I really do. He's a raging head case. He's 36 years old, tops out at 91. I just don't see that working out. You know, if maybe the unsung hero would have to be a Patrick Sandoval type guy. But who knows, after a year and a half of not pitching, it's just, there's just so many question marks, so many holes, so much excess in areas that, you know, we don't really need. This is halfway through January just about. And it's a major dumpster fire. If I'm going to put a win total on it right now, I'm saying probably 76 to 78. That's really where I'm at. I think Bayo's going to regress. I don't think Jaron Duran's going to be great in this type of an environment. I don't think he's going to revert back to 7 WAR. I don't even know if he'll be a 4 WAR player, honestly. The way he ended the season, I mean, lefties seem to have figured him out. I don't think Rafael is going to be that stout. So, and Abreu's going to get at-bats against lefties. Ideally, if you're going to do that, the rest of the lineup is going to be well-balanced and productive. this is a mess right now. So that's why I have them below 80 wins.
Would Bo get you to 80 wins?
It would help because now we are a little bit streamlined. Now you know exactly what your infield is. We just don't know where he's playing. We don't know where Meyer's playing. They're gonna flip flop on whichever positions it is. We know Story's at short. We know Contreras. I keep wanting to say Castellanos. We know what positions they're playing. And you know Roman Anthony's in the outfield. You know Duran's probably getting a lot of starts. But you know, I'm a Christian Campbell guy too. I want him to work out. But I don't think we're getting Bo Bichette because we're already at the first luxury tax. We're not going to exceed the second one. It would have to have heavy deferrals. And I think if Dave Dombrowski wants him bad enough, he's going to get him. Or the Blue Jays will if they miss out on Tucker. I don't think the Red Sox have any leverage right now. And if you're a top player, they all know this is a clown show too. You don't think Mookie Betts talks to players across the league in the winter or plays golf with them and says nice things about the Red Sox? I don't think so. You know, and Bogarts. And so the Red Sox look so bad right now on so many levels.
Terry, let me give you a potential, because I agree, I don't think Bo is coming here, but what if you took Tristan Casas and you flipped him for Brendan Donovan? I think that could potentially happen. And then you go out there and you trade Duran, maybe even you throw Campbell since there's not a spot for him at this point, and you get a player like a Cole Reagans. Like, what's the win total looking like with that?
I don't love any aspect of bringing in Brendan Donovan being a lefty bat, but just bringing in Reagans alone, and he's going to be healthy, because that's a question mark, I think. Okay, now you're stable. Now you're absolutely stable. You've got Crochet. You've got Reagans. Less pressure on Sonny Gray now. I still think that's going to work out badly. I think Johan Oviedo probably won't have a great year, but it'll be a better year than Sonny Gray. And so you got him, you've got Bayo, probably Sandoval at some point, probably Connolly early at some point. I think you're one starting pitcher away from having a scenario that will work out. We don't know how it'll be beyond Crochet, Reagans, and Bayo, but there's a way to do it. There's pieces that you can put in place to do it. So the problem is I think Reagans is untouchable right now in Kansas City. I don't see a scenario where they're going to give him up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. It definitely brings a higher level of stability. But I think, you know, the question I think most of us would still have is, where the heck are the runs coming from? Because you are putting so much pressure, as Jason said, on Roman Anthony. You're asking a 21-year-old to basically be Devers plus Poppy plus Bregman plus insert any name that you expected power from in the Red Sox lineup in the last decade. And coming off of an injury nonetheless where he didn't even get the experience of playoff baseball at Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium in the case of this season. But I think the point is there's still so many question marks with this team. And, you know, you look at the players, whether it be Alonso, whether it be Schwarber, and now Bregman, the Red Sox and Craig Breslow, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Any other thoughts, guys? All right. Well, thanks for stopping by. We've been the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Take care, guys. Have a great night.